Our New Testament reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 17 through 26. He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by evil spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven, for that is how their fathers treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for that is how their fathers treated the false prophets." This is the word of the Lord. This is one of those difficult passages to hear. Oh, not the part about the blessings, but the part about the woes. Jesus challenges everything that people think is normal, and he flips it upside down to show how things really are from God's perspective and how they will be in eternity. Because of this, each of his statements is shocking. Each statement of Christ is a jolt of reality in our world. We're looking at one version of Christ's sermon in Luke 6, and there's a longer sermon in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, which we know is the Sermon on the Mount. That's the one we're much more familiar with. It's the one I have studied at some length. And it's the one I prefer personally. But this morning, our lectionary brought us to the passage out of Luke, and so it bears looking at. Now, that some people think that these are two different sermons in two different times in two different locations. And others think they are the same sermon, and Luke has merely given us the abbreviated version. There's no way for us to know for sure, which is true. Sometimes I like to think that perhaps as Jesus traveled in his ministry, he would give a version of the same sermon in more than one location. But whatever is true, this is taken from the Word of God, and let us look at what he is saying in this particular passage. Blessed are the poor, happy are the hungry, fortunate are the tearful. Everything is inside out and upside down and back to front. It does not fit in rather well with what we commonly believe. But it does fit in with how Jesus described his intentions at the very beginning of his ministry. Remember, when we just recently talked about Jesus going back to Nazareth and being in the synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth, and he read the scroll from the prophet Isaiah, where it said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind." And remember, he said that he is the fulfillment of this prophecy, that he then revealed him that he himself is the Messiah. And do you remember what happened shortly afterward? Yes, the people of his own hometown tried to throw him off a cliff. Jesus' teaching and preaching can really get people riled up. Insulting the religious authorities, trampling on their traditions, speaking words they would interpret as blasphemous, and suggesting even that the most sacred of all institutions, the temple, would come tumbling down. To the eyes of the rich and powerful, how could he not appear as a threat? As they saw the devotion and power he had amongst the outcasts and the dispossessed and the poor, how could they not be fearful for their positions in society? To them, Jesus was not good news, but bad news. If they didn't take action, their whole world could be turned upside down. But to the poor, he was a new hope. Think of the situation of the poor in the crowd to whom Jesus was speaking. They did not live in a democracy. They did not choose for the Romans to come and conquer their land. They had no vote. They were in this troublesome corner of a vast empire, which was governed by puppet rulers desperate to impress the powerful people back in Rome. They were poor, not only materially, but also in terms of rights and expectations and almost every other area of their life. They were downtrodden. They were the imprisoned ones. And life was not smiling down good fortune upon them. Those who had once been described as God's children felt like God's orphans. Now, Jesus calls the Pharisees whitewashed tombstones. He describes the temple as a den of thieves, and he accuses the teachers of the law and the intellectual Sadducees of not knowing the scriptures. So put yourself in the position of the poor. You go to hear Jesus speaking, and he heals people who come to him. You hear all these stories about God looking out for the lost, rejoicing over those who had come to him in childlike faith. A God who was not far off and remote, but one who you could actually call Abba, Father. You hear of a God who had an intense interest in the misfortunes and struggles of people who felt they were at the bottom of the pile. You are blessed. Glory to God, you are blessed. God can do wonders for you. God blesses the poor. But woe to the rich. Eugene Peterson's translation in The Message captures well the flavor of these pronouncements. He says, "It's trouble ahead for those who think they have it made. What you have is all you'll ever get. It's trouble ahead if you're satisfied with yourself. Yourself will not satisfy you for long. It's trouble ahead if you think life's all fun and games. There's suffering to be met, and you're going to meet it." That's the way Eugene Peterson described this passage. Now, just as there is nothing intrinsically wonderful about poverty or tears, there is nothing intrinsically evil in riches or laughter. The blessing the poor receive comes because they are in a situation of complete dependence upon God. In seeking God, they find God. The woe of riches is that they blind us to our need for God. And they create such a comfort zone around us that we forget that the hurting people out there are the ones God calls us to serve. We forget that privilege carries with it a corresponding responsibility. that to those to whom much is given, much is expected. Jesus sets his face strongly against those who don't take the time to care. Jesus is not with those who see others' misfortunes as none of their business. Those whom, like the priest and the teacher of the law in the parable of the Good Samaritan, are so busy pursuing their personal agendas that they walk on by when faced with the desperate needs of others. Woe to those who think they have everything they need. The gospel comes as a rebuke that seeks to stir up complacency and calls us to stop building our own little empires and get with God in the program of building his kingdom. We would like to have it all in this life and the next. We'd like it all to be the same in this life and the next. But Jesus said we must experience poverty and hunger and sorrow. And if not literally, at least our hearts and our actions must be with those who truly do experience poverty, hunger, and sorrow. When he told the rich young man to go and sell everything he had and give it to the poor, Jesus meant it. But he meant it because he knew how much the young man's wealth meant to him. He knew that the young man would choose to retain his wealth rather than to be saved. Remember that Jesus faced temptation in the desert himself after his baptism. Satan offered him everything, all the world. All yours, Jesus, if you'll just worship me. But Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone. This passage of scripture that we've been looking at isn't meant to be easy listening. Unless we are the poor or the hungry or those in mourning, it's meant to make us uncomfortable. It is Jesus' call to get our priorities in line with God's. It's meant to make us search our hearts, and it challenges us to consider what we really believe the gospel to be. It is an upside-down world that we live in, and Jesus is trying to flip things back. We, as his disciples, are to show the world what is right side up, what right side up living looks like. It's all about an attitude of the heart. Be content with what you have and seek first the kingdom of God. We do not have to live according to the stifling standards of a sinful world anymore. We can be poor and be a great success. We can be persecuted and be popular with God. We can be hungry and yet have food that this world knows nothing about. But understand this, not all Christians are called to a life of poverty or hunger or weeping or rejection. But when a choice must be made between money and God, God must come first. Money is not evil unless it takes the place which only God should have. When we must choose wealth or Jesus, being well fed or Jesus, laughter or Jesus, we always must choose Jesus. And this is to the glory of God. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we do bow humbly before you, recognizing that there are times in our lives when our priorities are mixed up, when we think we are self-sufficient, when we think we have all that we need, when we think that we can provide on our own all that matters in our lives. And then we experience those in our lives who are suffering, those who are poor, those who are hungry, those who are weeping. And we are reminded once again, Lord, that you call us to serve you. You call us to care for those who are less fortunate. So, Lord, for those of us who do have blessings of so many kinds, when we have enough food on the table and we have roofs over our heads and we have money in the bank, let us rejoice in the blessings that you have given us, but never let us put those blessings ahead of our need for you. This morning, Lord, we do remember those whose names we have raised, who are in need of your healing, of your comfort, and of your care. We do lift up to you Lou and Emily and David. We lift up to you Reverend Doug Love. Lord, we lift up to you Flo, and we lift up to you Jim. We pray that they will feel your presence in their lives, and we pray that they will feel your healing. And Lord, thank you for gathering us together on this beautiful day, this day of rain and clouds, and yet a beautiful day in your kingdom. We pray that you will guide us safely as we go home this afternoon. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity for fellowship over food in just a moment. But Lord, we pray all of this now in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and our Savior, the one who taught us to pray by saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." And now, speaking of blessings, let us return our gifts to God.